This is Juno Afternoon. Scott Burton, your host today, and my guests are on the line now from Hoonah. We have Frank Wright. He is the president of the board of directors of the Hoonah Indian Association, and he's a fisherman. Frank Wright, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Sure.
And also on the phone, Skakey Heather Powell, a teacher, also a culture bearer, mom, auntie, and more. Skakey Gunlachish for being on the show. Skakey, can you please introduce yourself for our listeners?
Bad River Band, Minnesota. My name is Skakey. My English name is Heather Powell. I'm Chukun Shaw. I come from Hoonah. My family originates from Glacier Bay. I come from Chai Hit, the Yellow Cedar House, and my father's people are Anishinaabe from Bad River Band in Minnesota, and I am the proud grandchild of the Shuknafadi, the Raven Coho.
All right, and Frank Wright, will you please add to your introduction as well?
Hi, my name is Frank Wright. I'm Shuknafadi from Hoonah, and my father, Chukunedi, from Glacier Bay. And I'm a fisherman, been living here most of my life. I think my parents moved here when I was 12, anyway. And I've been fishing and went to school to get away from fishing, but I'm a fisherman. So here I am.
And I don't know if it's as beautiful in Hoonah as it is today in Juneau, but I'll make this short so you two can get out on the water if you want to.
All right.
Frank Wright, how has life been for you in these strange times in this pandemic-related social isolation?
Well, it's kind of put a strain on things. You know, I can't, like if I get an owie or anything like that, I got to stay here. And being a fisherman, I can't afford to leave town because I get a 14-day quarantine if I leave town. But if I go fishing, then I don't have to do the quarantine because my crew is from here. And, you know, you wonder about the gatherings of our people. Our people are social people, so we all have to figure out a technical way of getting together. And then our board... We can't have a meeting, so we're trying to figure that one out. So we can conduct tribal business. So you watch people walking around, and you wonder what we're going to be able to do this summer. I just worry about how we're going to deal with the economics of this community.
Right.
It's because it's right now, it's a big part of Hoonah. Now it's not going to be here. I talked to a Hoonah Totem board member, and he said two companies canceled, but Norwegian was still hanging in, but they were pretty sure they were going to cancel out too. So community's in dire straits. So,
Frank, have you ever seen anything like this in your lifetime?
Nope. Never. I don't think this is probably not going to be the last either if we can take a warning, then it's not going to end here. So this is a warning of what's going on in this world. So it's kind of, you wonder if it's, how this environment is going with, the climate change and all that, As a fisherman, I've seen so much that it's pretty scary.
Right. Well, Well, thank you for sharing those words. Skakey, Heather Powell, how has life been for you? I imagine you haven't been able to be in the classroom where you often are. What have you been doing?
Well, it's a pretty crazy time. Thankfully, we have, you know, technology that allows us to be able to do some distance learning and distance teaching. So I am lucky and fortunate to be able to work with my Uncle Frank Wright's wife, Kashke Duffy Wright, and she's been holding it down in Hoonah City Schools for many, many years. So she and I are doing online Tlingit language classes several times a week, and then on Fridays we gather and we do a Tea with Aunties online. And so we're able to be able to see each other and share what we've been doing. And, you know, a lot of times I think, like my uncle was saying, we're such social beings. We enjoy each other's company. We enjoy talking and seeing. And it's really been, this is the end of 6 weeks that I've been home now. And we, our students every day go to the school, and we're very fortunate that our school staff is providing breakfast and lunch to all of our students, and that our teachers are able to give out homework packets, and we have Google Chromebooks that are assigned to the students to be able to use. But the reality of it is that in our community, not everybody has internet access, not everybody has smartphones or the ability to utilize technology. And in this community, we really are that fishing community, and we really are that community that, which makes us lucky that we're able to subsist our foods, that we're able to know that we can go out and set crab pots and shrimp pots, and that we can set skates for halibut and go out and dig fish. And I think those things are important. Right now in Hoonah, we are starting to see our cottonwood buds are popping out, our fiddlehead ferns, our dandelion greens. We have a lot of things that are getting ready to pop out and make their voice known. So it's going to be a good time of harvesting. I think a lot of people in our communities are starting to plant gardens and put their seeds in the ground, and that's an exciting thing. So there are a lot of things keeping us busy, even though it's kind of a trying time.
Yeah. Frank, has anything surprised you about this time or how the community's reacting? Anything out of the ordinary for you?
I've been on a few of the listening to you how the city's handling this, and I think the city's handling it beautifully, you know, but right now we got rules on how we're supposed to do things, you know, and like we're going on fishing and stuff now, even the states can involve, so with how we do things here, you know, culturally, you know, this is, you know, my wife does a lot with Kuik, with the schools, and this, she was telling me today, this would have been 30 years that they never missed a Kuik, school Kuik. And, you know, culturally, that's really important for young people. You know, when I was going to school here, wasn't such a thing. We weren't given the opportunity to even speak our language here. So, you know, so it's kind of robbing us of things that our children need to learn, you know.
Right.
And this is not only just our local Tlingit children, but, you know, for non-native children that are here, they learn it about a different culture. It's, you know, important for them to see everything from where they live, you know. So it's really important that we try to keep this up. But with this kind of thing, you know, even our Kuik, and us, I was talking to an elder, and he's this fall he was thinking of having a Kuik for his brother and his niece and his aunt, you know, but they said they got to call that off because of this thing here. So culturally, it's devastating. So I don't know what else to say about it, but yeah. We'll keep moving on like we always have, you know. That Tlingit culture has always been people that took care of each other, so that's the way it's going to be continuously. You know, we keep moving on. You know, Tlingit means people, you know, so let's keep moving. That's the way it's going to be. Even in our tough winters in the old days, we still took each care of each other. Oh.
That's one thing I've seen more, too, Uncle, is that I feel like even though it's been tough times, you see people out there, people are baking bread, people are sharing it, people are making sure to bring food by to their aunties. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of goodness that exists inside us just every day. But I think that being able to spend this time kind of focusing on what's really important, there's a lot of folks have remembered that our families are really important to us. And it's been a blessing. You know, this year, Auntie Jessie and Sally Dibdahl, and Sally, she's just a pillar in our community as well. There's a group of aunties in this community that really keep things going. And Duffy and Sally, they did spring cleanup social distance this year. They set bags out in front of their houses, and folks went by and picked up garbage, and they left them out, and the city went through and picked them up. And, I mean, it's just some things are kind of business as usual, but just a lot of distance.
Well, you know, even Southeast, you know, we've gotten some food from Sitka, we've got food from Juneau, and, you know, and the bigger communities looking after a small community is kind of a beautiful thing. You know, you look at it, and, you know, HI was gotten a little bit involved with a whole bunch of food that came over on a ferry. Their truck was loaded, and it wasn't just tribal members. It was the whole community that was invited to help themselves with food, and it was it was really something, you know. And I have to mention that because, you know, some other community not looking after another community, that's one of the things of Southeast, I guess, you know. And we had some Sitka tribe that sent us some heron eggs. Wasn't much because you got to fly it over here. But it was doesn't matter how much it is. It's the thought that counts.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Keiki, what do you see in the weeks ahead? Do you see any challenges? More challenges coming your way? Are things going to get easier as the weather gets better? What do you see happening?
Well, I think that there's definitely challenges our way, you know, but it's just a matter of how we're going to deal with it. And being able to keep our distance from each other is keeping our community safe. We currently have zero cases of the coronavirus in our community, and that's something for us to hold dear to us. We have a lot of elders. We have a lot of people in our community. And we love each other so much, just indefinitely love each other so much that we're willing to make sure that we're making those sacrifices. I think that as the weather gets better and as the roads become more accessible, people will be distancing in their cars, and they'll be harvesting, and they'll be doing the things that are important to them. I think it's really important that we maintain our community in safety. I mean, I think that's one of the number one things is that that's one of the benefits that we have being on an island where there's no transportation besides the one plane a day and the ferry every 2 weeks. I think that's something that for us is comforting. We made it through the very beginning of when this virus was first talked about, and the fear of not knowing what was to come, you know, and not knowing what is it that we need to do, how prepared can we be. But realistically, people in Huna are very prepared. You know, we don't always have everything that we need, but we do have enough. And that's something that's we're thankful for. We're able to go out and harvest in our communities. And I think that that's something that it's definitely not like that in all communities. And knowing that as we're moving forward, we're going to have we're going to have a social distance graduation. We're looking at having our graduation at the end of May out at the airport, where there's a huge area there that we can have cars parked 6 feet apart, and we can honor our seniors for all of what that they've done. We have some amazing students that have made amazing accomplishments, having our eighth graders promoting to high school. I mean, there are some things that we definitely are missing during the school year, and just the routine of having it really kind of is the school really is the heartbeat of our community in a lot of senses. And so to be able to have some things that are very important, like graduation. So that'll be something that's coming up and that we're looking forward to. So there's definitely some challenges ahead, but I think that we have some amazing things to look forward to. And hopefully this is going to be a part where we're able to go out and harvest our medicines that are going to keep us safe, that are going to keep us from, you know, contracting. And if anything comes down the pike, we'll be able to have some medicine that's from our ancestors, from our land, things that make us stronger as human beings. I think part of that is harvesting that knowledge. So that's something that maybe, you know, the world is slowing down a little bit and giving us a little bit of time to start to heal ourselves and harvesting knowledge.
Frank, last question to you, if I may. Do you have any advice to give to us as we move forward through these challenging times? Maybe advice to your community and to us here in Juneau?
I think that we just need to keep practicing what's happening. You know, you look at the numbers that are, you know, given to Huna and the numbers that are in Juneau. People need to keep practicing what we're doing. You know, so if we deviate from that, we could say it's not my fault. You did it yourself. You know, the government or city government or anyone breaks away, then I can say, told you so. Let's just start listening to the science. Be careful. That's all there is to it. Be careful. You know, another thing is, you know, fish and game, you know, there are some rules that are not equal to our culture. You know, we don't play with fish, but we can still get in trouble. So they need to slack up on it. Anyway, that's what I got.
All right, sir. Well, thank you for your time and your words. We wish you the best of luck going into the rest of spring and into summer, and a good luck with your fishing season. Skakey Heather Powell, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it, and stay well, be healthy, and I hope you too will allow us to check in with you here in a couple weeks.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm going to go fishing, so I got my crew baiting up. So,
all right.
Yeah, I just got to get out there. You know, my crew's clear, so I don't need to worry about them there in Huna. All right,
Gunashish. Heather, are you heading out on the water too?
Absolutely. As soon as I hang up the phone, skiff's already launched.
All right. Thanks, you too. Enjoy.
All right. All right. You too.
Bye bye.
Be careful.
Thanks.